This podcast homily is part of a series of homilies for Whitsunday Pentecost and the Sundays in Trinity season in worship using the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. Welcome to this podcast homily for the 20th Sunday after Trinity. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. These homilies are always found on the podcast homilies page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. They and the entire AIC archive of hundreds of homilies can also be accessed through the Podbean gadget on the digital library page of the same site and also through podcasts on iTunes. The epistle reading for 20th Sunday after Trinity is again from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, this time chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. This reading is a short message from St. Paul on the joys of the Christian faith, urging the faithful to drink of the Holy Spirit instead of becoming sated with wine, and joyfully singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in the church, and finally on the virtue of giving thanks always for all things unto God. Listeners to these podcast homilies will certainly have noticed that most of them end with the ascription, "Glory be to God for all things. Amen." Today's gospel reading from Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14, the parable of the wedding feast, is the third of three consecutive episodes from the Gospel of St. Matthew. We leap forward 3 years from last week's reading to Tuesday of Holy Week in the year 30 AD, just 2 days before Jesus' betrayal by Judas Iscariot on the evening of Maundy Thursday. It is a story about the judgment that awaits those who do not mend their ways while still living. Before we enter the scene in today's reading, Jesus had purified the temple, driven out the money changers, gone to Bethany, come back to Jerusalem, accused the Pharisees of killing the prophets, and by citing Psalm 118, verse 2a, identifying the stone which the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone, and introduced, most importantly for this podcast interpretation of the reading, the warning in Matthew 21:43, that the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. Here is another example of Scripture explaining Scripture, in this case offering an explanation of the parable before the parable is actually spoken. In the reading, Jesus, the teacher or rabbi in Hebrew, offers another of the kingdom parables. In this one, he answers the question raised in Psalm 15, verse 1, fittingly a psalm of virtue and righteousness, which is read in morning prayer on this, the 20th Sunday after Trinity, who shall dwell in thy tabernacle? In previous homilies on this reading, I have examined the parable in considerable detail, explaining allusions according to the teachings of the early church. For this podcast version this year, my focus is on selected verses which contain references to future events in Jerusalem. When the king learned that his invited guests had killed his messengers, that's verses 6 and 7, he sent out his army to destroy their city, just as Jerusalem itself was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. When the king said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy," one should recall Matthew 21:43, which I just read, concerning the taking away of a kingdom and the giving of it to another. In the parable, the king's men searched the bushes and highways, symbols of the Gentile world, and found others, a symbol of the Gentiles, now offered access to the kingdom, to fill the dining hall, carrying out the threat from Matthew 21:43 of the kingdom given to a nation bearing the fruits thereof. On the day of the wedding, the king enters the wedding hall and finds one man not wearing the wedding garment, which means the clothing provided by the host. The king had this man bound hand and foot and, quote, cast him away into outer darkness, saying, quote, "For many are called, but few chosen," in verse 14. Having mentioned Matthew 21:43, it is appropriate to remind listeners that after the Pharisees heard the warning in 21:43, Matthew tells us in verse 45, they perceived that he was speaking of them. In this reading, Jesus has offered a new covenant to a new people in place of the willfully disobedient to whom the old covenant was offered. Obviously, those of the old covenant did not sufficiently perceive the meaning of the parable. The kingdom in the parable is indeed a vision of the kingdom of heaven. The wedding is an allusion to the union of Christ and his church to come, and of which St. John wrote in the final chapters of Revelation, the marriage of the Lamb to his church. The church symbolized by the king's hall in the parable is the place on earth where the faithful find entry into the kingdom. Again, the parable of the wedding feast answers the question raised many centuries earlier in Psalm 15, verse 1, "Who shall enter thy kingdom?" And just as in the days when the psalm was composed, the answer is still, as in the psalm, "He that leadeth an uncorrupt life and doeth the thing that is right and speaketh the truth from his heart," from Psalm 15, verse 2. But always remember the final verse of the parable of the wedding feast, "Many are called, but few are chosen." The first of my two closing prayers is a confessional prayer by the Blessed Lancelot Andrews from the early 17th century, and which I included in the AIC bookstore publication, Prayers in the Christian Tradition. The second prayer is the collect for 20th Sunday after Trinity, which Archbishop Cranmer adapted from the Gelasian Sacramentary as it was used in England before the separation from Rome. "I, coming to God, believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he is indeed the Savior of the world, that he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I believe that through the grace of Jesus Christ I shall be saved, even as our fathers. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. My heart shall rejoice in him, because I have trusted in his holy name. In the name of the Father, of the Savior, Mediator, Intercessor, Redeemer, of the twofold Comforter, the Lamb and the Dove. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon me, according as I hope in thee. Amen. O Almighty and merciful God, of thy bountiful goodness keep us, we beseech thee, from all things that may hurt us, that we, being ready, both in body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish those things which thou commandest, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a production of the Anglican Internet Church, and we invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.